What your Eds Plus pennies are up to is coming up next on The Inside Scoop. Hey, welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, David Owen. When anyone in Cobb buys something, they're likely paying a 1% sales tax. That is, unless it's something exempted from the tax, like prescription drugs. So that means people traveling through the county on I-75, heading to a vacation spot, for example, are chipping in to help the education of our students whenever they make a purchase. Here to talk about the results of their investment is the current head of Cobb School's EdSPLOS department, James Wilson. James, thank you for coming in.
Glad to be here.
So you're not new to Cobb Schools. In fact, anyone who's been to a board meeting can look over on the wall and see a picture, perhaps a younger version of you. Tell us a little bit about your experience in Cobb Schools and how you came to be our head of SPLOST.
Ooh, in 1975, I came to Cobb County as a 21-year-old teacher. And from that time, I've worked through multiple schools, assistant principal, principal of high school, principal of middle school, over high schools, over HR, deputy superintendent, interim superintendent.
Okay, now it's starting to get ridiculous. Ridiculous. So you've had experience in just about every area of the school district, right?
I've enjoyed being a part of the Cobb County School District for a long time, yes.
Okay, so it seems like that would be good to help understand the needs of the various areas, geographical areas, as well as the operational things of the school district, right?
It has served me well being in many parts of the school district, especially as we have worked through SPLOST.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's go a little bit deeper on SPLOST, or as we call it, EdSPLOST. And by the way, that distinction is kind of important, right? Because the school district isn't the only one here doing a SPLOST program as separate from the Cobb government. We are Cobb School District, right? We don't do roads, for example.
That's correct. It's very important to distinguish between the two.
Okay. Any chance that's going to be formalized as an EdSPLOST department in the near future?
We're working on that.
Okay.
We're currently in our existing SPLOST, working through that, but we're always planning for the next one.
Okay. Awesome. That's good to hear. Mm-hmm. So what about a SPLOST? I kind of alluded to this in the open. What about a SPLOST is such an advantage to the taxpayers, the citizens of Cobb County?
Well, you mentioned it in your opening that it's a 1% sales tax, and because we're in Cobb, where we have Interstate 75, 285, mm-hmm. 20 going through, we have a lot of visitors to our community because of the Atlanta Braves, Whitewater, Six Flags, and all of the folks that go to our activities in our county help mm-hmm. us pay for this SPLOST.
That's kind of nice to have somebody else chipping in as well. So anytime we have a convention in town,
correct.
I guess that helps our schools?
Yes. Cobb's an attractive place for a lot of activities and businesses. So it really works well for us mm-hmm. because it's an estimate, and it's truly an estimate. But typically, we estimate that about 30 to 35% of the pennies come from people outside of our county.
Oh, wow. Okay. So when we are talking about the advantages of SPLOST, having others chip in, but that money is used in such a way that we don't have to pay certain other types of taxes, right?
Oh, yes. It's an advantage to everyone who lives here.
Okay. So, and not to turn this into a finance podcast, you didn't necessarily want to hear the finance side, but it's an important thing. We'll be brief on this. Most school districts have to issue bonds to build new buildings, for example, or even to repair existing buildings, right?
Correct.
We don't do that.
No. The last bond that this district held mm-hmm. was in 1995.
Wow.
I'm sorry, okay. 1995. And with that bond, it was the largest bond that the district had ever done. It was $210 million. And in our payback of that, we paid $290 million because of the interest.
Okay.
So
wow.
it is extremely important for us to be effective with our 1% sales tax because we don't have bond payments. This county here, not like everyone else, we're bond free.
Yeah, that's
debt free.
So. It's like a mortgage, except for a school district, and you're having to pay all of that interest. But with SPLOST, we don't have to pay that interest.
Correct.
And we have somebody else helping us pay it.
That's right.
That's kind of a nice thing. So ever since SPLOST was implemented, SPLOST won, and you were here in SPLOST when
I
SPLOST
was.
Won. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the outstanding or most memorable things that have been done through SPLOST that people now may take for granted?
The Georgia legislature presented the opportunity for districts across the state in 1996. The Cobb County School District chose to go for a SPLOST in 1998.
Okay.
In that SPLOST were 12 new schools because we had over 700 portable classrooms, and we were growing 3,000-plus students a year.
Yeah.
So it was a very successful SPLOST because we worked toward having better classrooms for students. But SPLOST 2, the second SPLOST in 2003, we had 9 more new schools.
Oh, holy cow.
So it took the 12 and the 9 new schools to get us in a comfortable area with portable classrooms. We were down to about 200 portable classrooms, and today we're less than 100.
Okay. So can you imagine having to suddenly build 20 some odd schools? I mean, those were times when growth was just incredibly high. The rate of growth was huge. And you and your department track the growth of the county or the demographics of the county, right, to try to anticipate what's going to happen?
We do. We've been tracking. We do a 10-year enrollment study and renew it every single year. So if we go out to build a school, first of all, we know the location of that school where it needs to be, mm-hmm. and just how much effort we need to have as far as size of schools, whether it's elementary, middle, or high. So we're constantly planning and forecasting our needs.
That seems like it almost seems like an impossible task to forecast, because you're having to not only figure out what's going to happen in the next year or two, but probably, what, 5 or 10 years down the road?
We are always planning for at least 5 to 10 years down the road.
Good grief. That must take some high math. I'll just say that. High research, right? What are some of the things that you would pull up to try to figure all that out?
Well, we always look at building permits, where the growth is.
Okay.
The county over the years has done somewhat of a counterclockwise growth pattern. Back in the earlier days, the growth was in Smyrna, then it moved over to East Cobb, then it moved to North Cobb, then it moved to West Cobb, and now it's back to Smyrna.
So you're always chasing the growth bubble.
We're chasing
bubble.
It. Yeah, but it's a good thing to be able to always be in a position to forecast. So when we do have a SPLOST program, mm-hmm. we are building where it's supposed to be. There have been districts that didn't do their planning, and they built a school maybe in one place when it probably needed to be in another. So we plan constantly.
Yeah.
It's important to us to make sure that we do the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So now that we are tending to see kind of a decline population-wise, at least that's been my understanding, what is the need for SPLOST if the student population is going down?
Well, the student population in Cobb County is going down a little bit, just like every other school district in Metro Atlanta.
Okay.
And there's some factors that go with that. But the important part for us is SPLOST is not just to build new schools. It is to maintain our existing schools by modernization and making sure that, because some of our inventory goes back to being built in the 50s. So it's important for us to take all of our schools and make sure that the roofs are good, the flooring is good, the classrooms are good, the HVAC systems are good, so kids are warm in the wintertime and cool in the summertime. So it's really important. It's a huge part of any SPLOST program is taking care of the infrastructure.
Yeah, that anybody who's owned a home or lived in an edifice of any sort knows that things don't always stay in prime condition unless you make them stay that way.
Well, that's a great example because we use that example oftentimes that in your home, at some point in time, you'll put a new roof on your house.
Yeah.
You will paint the inside and the outside. You'll redo the driveway. And we do the same thing with schools. We try to keep them modernized to the best of our ability. And we use that precious penny, as it's called.
And precious it is. Things have been kind of tough economically. And so from the standpoint of a taxpayer, I'll just say it's an advantage because since it's a sales tax, you're not having to pay it unless you choose to buy something. So that's kind of a nice side as well. So what are some of the most, I guess you'd call them high profile or exciting projects that you have going on now?
There are certainly in every SPLOST some high-profile projects, and we have some currently. CETA 2, the Innovation Technology Program, that's very popular across the state and very popular in this county. It's the reason why we not only have CETA 1, but now we're doing CETA 2.
Yeah, CETA 1 being the one at the Osborne campus.
And CETA 2 is at the Allatoona campus.
Okay, and just so that you'll be aware, CETA 1 has been so popular that they have applicants they can't accommodate. And so being able to accommodate more applicants but also serve another area of the county, presumably where some of that growth is happening.
That's right.
That's kind of an important thing. So I'm sorry for the interruption. Go ahead.
No, it's great. In Sprayberry High School, Sprayberry High School was built in 1974.
Okay. Wow.
So it's got some age on it. And we are upgrading and doing what we need to do to make that a really good facility. Some of it is rebuild. Mm-hmm. Some of it is modernization. And we're not rebuilding the entire thing because the theater, the band room, the choral room, all of those are in still real good shape. We have a good gymnasium there. But as far as classroom space, media center, and all of those kind of things, it's a total rebuild for that area.
Wow.
And it's unique in the fact that because of land and the tightness of all of our properties that have some age on them, this main classroom addition is a four-story classroom addition.
Okay, building up instead of out.
Building up instead of out.
Hmm. So I understand that you brought some pictures with you that we could maybe take a quick look at. So let's see what comes up here, and maybe you can just kind of describe what it is that we're looking at.
Sure. Well, that's an aerial picture taken by our contractor, and we have a very good contractor, and the program is going very well. So if you see, the main thing you see there is that four-story building.
Okay, and that's the one at Sprayberry.
That's at Sprayberry.
Okay.
And if you go back a little bit, you'll see another lower-level, fairly good-sized building. There's two options there. One is the fairly new gymnasium, but the other is 37 portable classrooms.
Okay.
So while we take instructional space away from a school, we have to still have the instructional space. So there's 37 portable classrooms. It doesn't look like 37 because they're tied together.
So that's back by the ball field? Is that?
Yes, it's real close to the football field.
Okay.
And we had to take away some of the student parking to do that.
Well,
but
they'll get it back.
They absolutely will. And it'll be much better for them. And for everyone because of the new facilities that they're going to be able to go to class in.
Okay.
So we're excited about that project there. It is unique in the fact that we're really doing an 80% rebuild. You can see in the lower part, that's where the theater, band room, orchestra room, choral room currently is.
All right. Mike, what do we have next? What other photos can we take a look at?
This is CETA 2.
Okay.
And CETA 2 has about a 10 to 12 month build. It's on the campus of Allatoona. And so it just started a couple of months ago, and we're doing extremely well with this. The pour has been complete of the concrete, and now we're going up with the steel.
Okay.
And so we're actually on schedule right now, but we have a whole long way to go, as you can see.
Yeah, I was going to say, taking a look at the facility of CETA 1, there is an awful lot of technology in that. So you guys have to get your building up fairly quickly to be able to accommodate all that technology, right?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. So the early stages, you'll see that the concrete pad and the steel, but it's all working toward an excellent opportunity for young people to get their education in a atmosphere like this. It's really impressive.
All right. So this looks like the same thing, just a different view.
That's right.
Okay. And this is out the front door, in essence, of Allatoona. Is that?
If you were standing in front of the school, it would be a little bit to your right. This used to be student parking.
Okay.
We didn't take all of the student parking away in this, but it's a great location for the school and the program. But just behind this is another student parking that we put in place. So they did not lose student parking spaces.
I was going to say, of all the schools in the county, they might have the most land area to work with.
A little over 100 acres. Yes.
Wow.
Goodness gracious. Okay. Tell us what's coming up. Is it Bell's Ferry?
Yes.
Okay. What's the story on Bell's Ferry?
Bell's Ferry is an excellent example of an older school on a smaller campus that needs to be modernized and upgraded.
Okay.
It sits on a busy street now. It wasn't a busy street when it was built in 1961.
Cow pastures, probably.
But it's a busy street, so we've had challenges of the queuing line, of parents trying to drop off their kids being stuck on Bell's Ferry Road. So we're redoing the queuing line to help. But we're also tearing down and rebuilding some of the older buildings to modernize that campus. And it's a great example of a great school that's got some age on it, and we just need to update it and improve it.
So you guys, and when you have a school like that, that is so landlocked, and I mean, you can't put portables on a site like that. How have you managed that aspect?
Well, we actually did put portables on there.
Really?
Because of the construction. But we also did something else, and we've only done this a few times, but this is going very well, and we're real pleased with everyone working with us on this. Two of the grades in Bell's Ferry actually now go to Chalker.
Okay.
So we would reduce the number of students on the Bell's Ferry campus so we could do the construction.
Gotcha.
And so we were in a position to let the students go, and we transport them, of course, by bus to Chalker, which is a neighboring school. The attendance zones attached to each other, and Chalker had some instructional space to take two grades for us.
Okay,
so we still put a few portables on the Bell's Ferry campus just out of need for movement.
Yeah.
And trying to make sure that when we are doing a construction project like this, the whole environment stays very safe for teachers, parents, and students.
And most of all, students.
And
yeah,
students,
absolutely.
Yes.
So that makes perfect sense if you have space at an adjacent school to make use of it.
Oh, yeah. We've only done that a couple of times, but it's working very well. Community is very supportive. Both principals of both schools met with the communities and explained how this would work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very fortunate because we really had to have the construction space.
Okay. Well, James, thank you so much for coming in and sharing some of these insights on EdSplost and Cobb Schools. And where can people who want to dig deeper into the EdSplost program go for additional information?
And thanks for saying that, because in the initial SPLOST 1, we created a notebook. Most districts did not.
Hmm.
But we have a notebook of every SPLOST and every project that we do, and it's actually on the school district website.
Okay, so that's not required by law?
No.
Okay, so we go above and beyond to be transparent on the projects that we intend to do, and I guess that relies greatly on the cash flow. Everything relies on cash flow,
everything,
right?
Everything is designed around cash flow. But yes, it's important to us for the community to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And the important part of that is we've talked about some really good projects, but there's about 50 projects going on right now that don't get that kind of attention because maybe we're just putting in a new floor.
Yeah.
Or maybe we're painting or putting in a new roof. And those projects are just as important as the others.
They're not as sexy as a four-story Sprayberry, but nobody wants to have their kids sitting with a bucket of rainwater dripping next to them. So. Well, again, thank you so much. We'll make sure that links to that information are available in the description and the show notes. And thank you for watching this edition of The Inside Scoop, a podcast produced by the Cobb County School District. We'll be right back.